The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by one of Ireland's most prolific writers, Sheila O'Flanagan. Sheila, hello. How are you?
Hello, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us. And I have here beside me Secrets Between Friends. Is this book 31?
Do you know, I am never 100% sure because because it probably is in novels, but I had done short story collections as well. Do you know what I mean? So
it's an incredible body of work, though.
Yeah. I every time somebody says to me, you've written X number of books, I always think they're talking about somebody else, to be honest.
That's you being modest.
No, it's not. It's just I can't believe I've done it. Mm-hmm.
But do you have a, like, is it a regime of a book a year? Is that how it works for you?
I kind of did a book a year for a while and I've rolled back a little bit from mm-hmm. that. But each time I finish a book, I think, okay, I'm going to take a big break and I'm not doing it again. And then I get an idea or a thought or something and it's, you know, I can't stop myself. And I just think, oh, well, I'll have a go at this. And then suddenly I'm involved and there we go again.
Yeah. And how is the process of writing for you? Do you find it like, do you have to push yourself to start to write or does it just flow?
I don't have to push myself to start. But there's always a bit, you know, when you've got maybe I'm about 40,000 words in and I think this is the worst idea I've ever had.
Have you ever scrapped it?
Earlier on, there's a couple of ones I've scrapped, not at 40,000 words, so, but, you know, maybe 5,000 words in or something like
you'll
that.
Just go,
I might
that's
just
not
say,
working.
You know, that's not working. But I feel now with a bit of experience behind mm-hmm. me and everything that I am able to make it work a bit more than I used to. So I'm not in the scrapping mode.
Well,
this is
about widowed women.
Yes.
So women who are of a certain age, or one of your characters certainly is in her 60s, isn't
yes.
she?
Yes.
So do you feel, because I know you've written about this in the past, that how women of that age have been depicted in the past hasn't been entirely fair or true or reasonable?
Not entirely true, I think. Do you know, I think women in their 60s, and I'm in my 60s myself now, so I feel I can speak.
You can.
It's a little bit of experience. But, do you know, one of the reasons I wrote the piece that I did about women in their mm-hmm. 60s being, or older women, not being fairly portrayed was because I'd read two books, one after the other. And in both cases, there was a secondary character who was an older woman. And you know what? They were depicted the same way as kind of not caring about their appearance that much and just being a bit scatty or, you know, whatever, and not being able to use their mobile phone. I'm going, for God's sake, you know, we grew up with mobile phones. We were there when they came in first. Mm-hmm. And their only interest was in their family or their children. And so they were always there in a supportive role to whoever the main character was. And I'm thinking, this is not like women I know. And I actually posted about it on my social media. And then I got all these photographs of women in their 60s and 70s on motorbikes and paragliding and doing all sorts of things. And so, you know, although my character in Secrets Between Friends is, you know, an older woman and has lost her husband, and her sister in the book kind of thinks, well, you know, you're going to need to find somebody before you're not really totally old woman on your own. She has ideas about her future and she has a plan for her future, you know what I mean? And she's comfortable in her own skin. And I think a lot of times older women are portrayed as just being sad and lonely. And
that their best days are behind them, not ahead of them.
Exactly. And with nothing to look forward to. And I think that is very untrue. It's like untrue of me and it's untrue of my friends who are, you know, I have many in the same age bracket as me. I have many younger friends, you know, and we all get on in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I felt it was important in this book particularly to give this woman, you know, hope for her future.
Yeah.
And think that she wasn't just sitting at home.
And is the book about grief and grieving as well?
It is, because there are three women and they are all at different ages and at different stages having lost their life partners. So one of the characters, Rua, is 39 and the other, Ailey's in her mid-40s and she's just lost her husband. They meet by accident, by chance, and they form a friendship and they realise that they have this one thing in common. And they are able to relate to each other because they're all going through the same thing, albeit they're all at different stages of their recovery. And they find that that friendship supports them. And I think it's because sometimes, you know, when you've lost someone, people are uncomfortable with you.
They don't know what to say.
They can't cope with your own, with your grief. And so these women between themselves, they're you know, within the book, they're not spending their whole time talking about having lost anybody, but they are, they have that comfort of knowing that, you know,
the other person understands.
Exactly.
Yeah. When I met you years ago, like I say 20 Yonks. Years ago is what we were saying when you popped in. We had a conversation around chick lit, because that's what it was called at the time,
yeah,
and how it was perceived. And you were cross back then about that. And that hasn't changed with you, because you contend that the same amount of effort goes into creating something like this, which is popular fiction, yeah, an enjoyable book to read, as does a piece that will win all of the awards and be on long lists and short lists and all of that. Do you think that has changed?
It has slightly changed, but not as much as you'd like it to change, I think, because very recently I was at an event and the person said, and Sheila is a romance writer. And I'm kind of going, not really. Do you know, if you were looking for just romance in my books, you're not necessarily going to find it. And so I kind of think if you have, and I mean, I have to say that I do like the cover of Secrets Between Friends. It's very pretty. But if you have an uplifting cover on the front of your book, sometimes people think, well, it can't be dealing with, you know, interesting or meaty topics. And of course, like, grief is a difficult topic to deal with. But in my books, and I suppose in popular fiction, you're also writing to entertain, you know, and you want people to, I want people to be uplifted when they read my books and to feel happy after reading them. So I think sometimes we, you know, we feel that literature is better if it's kind of dark and difficult,
yes,
rather than bright and uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I said this before, but, you know, we're going through now particularly dark and difficult times, and I do think it's good to have something for? Nice.
You know, well, for me, it's to escape. You know, it's to have a little holiday for the 10 or 20 minutes, or sometimes much longer, that I manage to steal to read a book. It's to enjoy yourself. You know, as you say, it's to entertain.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's like stepping into somebody else's life. You know, a slice of somebody else's life, and putting yourself in situations that maybe you wouldn't be in, but you're interested in reading about, you know. So, and I do like, you know, readers get back to me and they'll say, well, you know, for example, I was in hospital, I was going through something and I was reading your book and it made me feel better, you know, and it got me through it. And, you know, there are times when my books go through some very sad phases, you know, within the context of the storyline. But again, at the end, I would like to feel that people are feel more optimistic or more positive, and that the characters are in a better place at the end than they were at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel publishing has changed a lot since you started out?
Oh, gosh, yes, completely.
Has it?
You know,
and tell me how.
Well, I suppose because, like every industry, everything has just become more commodified, you know, and there was a time when you'd bring out a book and now everybody would talk about the book, and now sometimes you hear people talking about the product, you know, and you just think also, but now, you know, there's a lot more avenues for people, you know, in self-publishing and ways to go to get into publishing. But I think also publishers themselves kind of jump a little bit more on bandwagons, you know, and they go for something and, you know, one week it's all, I don't know, dystopian fiction, and then the next week it's romantasy, and the following week it's something else, and you know, you couldn't keep up. So I just stick in my lane.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, and you mentioned this, that you posted something on social media, like, you have to have a name out there now, don't you, in that lane?
Well, they do like you to have a certain social media presence, but I think you can kind of lose the plot about that somewhat, you know. And obviously when I have a book out, I do post about it and I let readers know that the book is there and it's available. But I think you can get really caught up in spending too much time on social media. And people say, do you have advice, you know, if they're starting to read? I think, well, posting on social media is not writing. You know, it's talking about a book,
but you have to actually write the book. Yeah. And do you share about yourself on social media, or do you find that prospect difficult?
I share a little bit about myself because, you know, people do ask things, and, you know, it's nice to do a little bit about yourself. And I tend to only share the happy things, to be honest, because, you know, again, why depress people? But, you know, I don't mind a little bit. So, you know, birthdays or anniversaries, or, you know, occasionally, you know, if I'm away somewhere and it's really nice, I'll post a picture.
Yeah, but there is a line, isn't there, that you don't want people to cross, perhaps, that you need to keep some parts of your life private.
Of course, but I you know, that maybe is something that has changed now, because I think a lot of younger people are much more willing to put their entire life out
there.
Well,
it hasn't happened unless it's been on social media. That's how some people view it.
Yes, yes. One of my friends said that to me as well. We haven't gone out to coffee.
Unless you take a picture of it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think, you know, maybe there's just too much of us out there. Sometimes it's not all that interesting. Do you know what I mean?
But you know what you said there about sharing the happy things? Isn't that the problem with social media? For the rest of us watching on, we think, oh God, my life isn't as good as.
There is that. And I accept that entirely. But, I also have shared some of the sadder things in my life, you know, or just said to people, this has happened or that has happened. But, you know, it's not something you want to mine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes there is an element of just going after too much. So, you know, there is a line, Claire. I think absolutely.
So when it comes to your inspiration now, if we are on book, we'll say it's 31, right?
Okay.
We're finding that hard to define, but let's say it's 31. Where does the inspiration come from? Are you like a Maeve Binchy listening on the bus type person or and picking up bits of conversations, or how does it work for you?
Sometimes it's a theme that interests me. You know, again, in The Secrets Between Friends, that theme had interested me for quite some time, because, you know, losing a partner is different. Losing a partner from somebody who's passed away is quite different to a divorce, you know. So I was interested in exploring that. But other times, you know, yes, I would overhear conversations, much easier to do these days when people are talking on their mobile phones. You're kind of listening to somebody's entire life unfolding and the seat beside you on the bus. The bus is actually great. The bus and the train are great. And then other times, you know, it's just seeing people, honestly, seeing somebody walking down the street and the way they're walking or something about them would just make me think, oh, what is your story? And I go off and I make something
You create
up.
A backstory for that person.
There are people walking around Dublin now whose names I don't know, but who have inspired my books.
That's incredible.
Thank you to whoever you are.
That is a thing I think that you do as a child, really, when you're looking, when you've got, you know, when you don't have all of the responsibilities of maybe your mother or your father, whoever you're walking around with, that you can take the time to create a backstory for somebody you see on the street. So you've managed to hold on to that in your adulthood, which is a real achievement, I think.
Yes. I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's great.
But yeah, I mean, I live in Clontarf and I walk along the seafront quite a lot. And there are always loads of people walking along the seafront. So it's prime location for looking at people and wondering about them.
And inventing stories about them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And will you continue at this pace now with you know, book after book after book, or what's your plan?
I have slowed down a little bit.
Have you?
Claire, yes, yes. I mean, I didn't have a book out last year. And so this book, Secrets Between Friends, is this year's book. And then I won't have one next year, although it'll be out in paperback next year, but I probably will have one the year after.
So you're already working on the next one?
I'm not, but I have thoughts. I have had seen people walking around. But the thing is, yes, I am always thinking about things, whether I write them or not. I can't help it. It's just there in my head all the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then eventually gets to the point where I think I have to write it down.
Well, Sheila, it's lovely to see you, and congratulations on all of your success. This is perfect for Easter now. This is the Easter treat with the Easter egg. The perfect Easter Sunday.
I used to do that when I was a kid. With my mum and dad, always gave me an egg and a book, and I would eat the egg and read the book. And my book would always smell of chocolate.
Oh, I love it. That's the perfect Easter Sunday. Sheila O'Flanagan, the book is called Secrets Between Friends. And Patricia Scannon, who I know is a good friend of yours, isn't she?
She is.
She has said it's a poignant and heartwarming read. Sheila, lovely to see you.
And you too, Claire.
Thank you so much for coming in.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.